You're listening to Off the Record.
I'm Brian Wise. Thank you very much for joining me on the program this week. Again, coming to you from the USA, where I'm traveling from Austin to Memphis, down to New Orleans for Jazz Fest, and up to Nashville to eventually head home. And while I'm on the way, gathering some interviews. And the other day when I was in Austin, Texas, I caught up with legendary Texan singer-songwriter James McMurtry, and we'll be talking to him in a minute. And later on in the program, I'll be talking to Andy White, who's got a brand new album out. He's an Irish singer-songwriter who's now based in Melbourne, and I caught up with him before I left. But first to James McMurtry, who is a 55-year-old singer-songwriter, the son of writer Larry McMurtry, but a songwriter who's established his own career and his own reputation. His latest album, Complicated Game, getting him some of the best reviews of his career, produced by C.C. Adcock and recorded mainly in New Orleans. James does a couple of gigs a week in Austin when he's not touring, an acoustic one at the Gallery, which is on top of the Continental Club on South Congress, which is where I caught up with him, and then at the Continental Club itself on a Wednesday night at midnight with his full band. So let's join James McMurtry at the Gallery before he went to play his acoustic set, did a bit of a sound check and came and had a chat. But first, we're going to play a song that he recorded late last year. It's called Remembrance, and it's a politically themed song, and he'll talk about that in the interview. James McMurtry.
We're playing the hits in tuxedos. We're butchering Elton and Styx on a cruise ship in Torremolinos. A whole boatload of housewives and hicks. And tonight I can't sleep for the drummer. He's up talking real loud about God. I guess cocaine and Cuervo and Jesus go together like peas in a pod. Not long since the passing of Franco, the generals are singing the blues. El generalísimo ya está muerto. Who among us dares take him the news? And Juan Carlos will hold free elections. Democracy's coming to Spain. Perhaps it may prove to our liking, should the trouble not outweigh the gain. For there's not much use for innocence in a world gone crazy and blind. Those who place any faith in intelligence must surely be out of their minds, out of their minds. In the beach bars in Torremolinos, they got room for the quick and the dead. They got Irish and Germans and disco. Bloody Mary's as big as your head. These Americans can't drink for nothing. An Irishman says to a girl, but surely they'll not elect Reagan. He and Brezhnev will blow up the world. And Thatcher's just little Miss Reagan. She wants to build missiles and bombs, and we don't give tuppence for Thatcher. We've been under that skirt all along, and there's no excuse for innocence in a world gone crazy and blind. If you place any faith in intelligence, you must surely be out of your mind, out of your mind, out of your mind. In La Plaza Mayor de Madrid, some buskers are singing the blues. Just a couple of traveling kids trying to scrape up a meal and a brew. 250 pesetas. Paella for two's all it buys. It's a while since the passing of Franco, and the prices are starting to rise. An old man peruses the menu. Dismay on his face clearly shows. No subieron los precios con Franco, porque Franco nos dijo que no. And there's a sea of blue shirts in the bull ring, Fuerza Nueva with fists in the air. El generalísimo ya está muerto, un día él va a volver, va a volver. Un día feliz, no se puede saber cuándo paso en cuál país. We're still playing the hits in tuxedos, with the hostages still in Tehran. As the Dubliners drag by his feet out the door, yelling, whose bloody side are you on? And the housewives are stumping for Reagan, as we butcher Van Halen and Rush. And the drummer looks up from the mirror, saying, Jesus, what's happened to us? El hombre nace, sufre, muere. The bartender says with a grin, you in Russia keep rattling your sabers, we'll pick up your scraps in the end. En el mundo tan loco y ciego, how we love to talk loud about God. La inocencia no vale nada, ni tampoco ninguna verdad, ninguna verdad. No hay ninguna verdad, ninguna verdad. No hay.
Listening to Off the Record, I'm Brian Wise. I'm in the gallery, which is upstairs from the Continental here on South Congress in Austin. James McMurtry has just warmed up for his acoustic gig in the gallery tonight and is taking a few minutes, which I really appreciate. Thanks, James.
Well, thank you.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah, good.
It's interesting to see you in two different settings within a couple of nights here at the Continental. Acoustic at the gallery, electric for the midnight show on a Wednesday night. Which do you prefer?
I prefer the band, really. Yeah, it's just it's a looser vibe, and there's more energy. You can sort of like a band show is circular energy. You can rotate it between you and the crowd and the band. With an acoustic solo performance, it's linear. It's just you and the band, or you and the crowd, back and forth, really. And it can wear you out because you don't know what people are thinking.
On the other hand, though, it really gives people a chance to hear the songs and digest the lyrics, doesn't it?
If that's what you're into, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people would be with your songs, wouldn't they?
Some of them, yeah. I don't know. I like doing the one solo gig a week is really cool. I just got off an East Coast tour. We did about 18 solo dates, and a week of those things will wear you out. By contrast, we just did a month in Europe with the band. We did 33 straight, no nights off. And didn't wear me out near as bad as that 2 weeks of solo.
You're about to head off on the Westbound and Down tour with the band, aren't you?
Yeah, I wish they hadn't called it that. Jerry Reed Estate's probably going to sue me and the Hawk for the rest of my life.
Is there a new album on the way, or is...
Who knows? I mean, there always is at some point. It's getting to where I'm economically going to have to put another record out, because we mostly put records out to get written about and get on the radio so people will come to the gigs, because this is where, you know, we make our money off the road now, mostly.
I was going to ask you what the life of a musician in Austin, Texas is, but I've just seen you set up the lights, set up the sound, bring your own gear and everything, so I can pretty much guess what it's like.
Well, it's pretty much like everywhere. Usually I don't have to be my own gaffer, We do carry our own gear in most places.
It's interesting to hear your songs about politics. You recorded a song before the end of the year called Remembrance, kind of long. So now it must be even more interesting for you politically. What's it like in Austin singing those songs now, or in the South? Is it different?
No, I mean, I've only written about three political songs. I happen to get known for one of them, which is okay, because you got to get known for something. But I'm not a political songwriter per se. I just carried it off once or twice. That last one, Remembrance, is okay. It's mostly, it's not specifically about Trump. It's about demagoguery as a phenomenon, because I happened to be in Spain for a little while when I was 18, not very long after Franco passed away. And a lot of the Spaniards I knew, a lot of the Madrileños, they wished Franco hadn't died. They wanted their dictator back because they didn't have to think so much when he was around. And I think that's not uniquely Spanish or uniquely American. There's a certain thread of that throughout humanity, and we got to watch for it.
Well, for example, in the LA Times, I think Andy Herman wrote an article about how your songs helped him to deal with what was going on in politics these days.
Well, I'm glad it did some good. It doesn't help me much.
and also Copper Canteen, talking about politics of a different kind, was named as one of the songs in the New York Times pointing the direction to future of music, wasn't it?
The music issue, yeah. It was interesting. It was. They had Lady Gaga and Kanye West and a bunch of us unknowns after that, for the most part. I mean, there was a couple of them that a lot of people know. I didn't. It was nice to be in that group.
It must be very pleasing for you as a songwriter to be recognized like that. That's why you do it, I guess, isn't it?
Well, no, I do it to make a living, but that helps.
The album received a lot of acclaim, Complicated Game. So it was a little bit of a different approach for you, wasn't it?
It was quite different. Tedious process. He and Napolitano got real good results, but I sure wouldn't do that again. That was a tough way to make a record.
Why was that? What was so tough about it?
One track at a time. And I came in, I'd do a vocal and guitar, acoustic track, basically. And then I'd replace the guitar, so I'd have a clean guitar track. And then I'd replace the vocal. And then we'd listen and think, okay, do we want to put drums on this? So everything was done, piecemeal, one at a time. There was never a band in the room playing on that whole record. So, a lot of records are made that way, and I think Graceland was made that way. A lot of your favorite records are basically sound paintings, where you paint one color and then you paint another, and it works great. It's sonically, it's a great way to do it, because you have no bleed. You don't have to worry about turning up a guitar track and having snare drum bleeding in there, because there was no snare in the room at the time. It's great for producers and engineers.
So you think you might do it a little bit differently, go back to the way
I'm going back to band in the room on the next one. Yeah.
Is that sort of more, I suppose they call that a more organic sound, don't they? I guess.
Yeah, it's just, when you do, live in the studio, it's basically about, finding the take that has the most life to it, the most energy and the most vibe between the players. That's something you can't get when you do it piecemeal, because it just, there's no interaction.
Just talking about the songwriting, Copper Canteen was a really interesting song and broached some pretty interesting subjects, with which a lot of your writing does. Who inspires you as a writer? I know there's the lineage there in your family, but who do you read that inspires you?
Who do I read?
Who would inspire you as a songwriter in terms of...
As a songwriter? Oh, Kris Kristofferson, for sure. Yeah, wrote that very tight, structured, Rhodes Scholar-ish verse. Because he was a Rhodes Scholar and a medevac helicopter pilot. That guy did it all. John Prine, people like that. That's kind of who I studied.
Dylan once said a couple of years ago, delivered a speech where he implored young people to go and listen back, to listen to the old classics and all the old folk songs, to learn how to write songs. How did you go about it?
Well, I listened to those old folk songs, but they weren't so old when I was young. Trying to tell a 20-year-old to do that now is like trying to get him to learn to speak Martian. I don't know if they're going to do that or if it's worth their while, really.
You're listening to Off the Record. I'm Brian Wise. I'm at the gallery in Austin, Texas. It's above the Continental. James McMurtry's with me. He's going to be doing an acoustic gig very shortly. And James, your son has got an album out, which I picked up at Waterloo Records yesterday.
He's got two records out. He just put his second one out called The Hornet's Nest. And that's a fine record. He had one before called Respectable Enemy that he did with Will Sexton producing. But Curtis produced his last one himself, and happening record, I think.
If I remember correctly, the first time I interviewed you was at your house, and you were trying to get him to finish doing his homework one night. So that was a long time ago.
That's
now.
That's been a long time ago. He's 27 now.
What advice?
26, I guess.
Yeah. What advice have you given him for his music?
None. I can't teach him anything about music. He's got a degree in music comp.
Right.
With emphasis on ethnomusicology. I really can't tell him much.
What about the business? Have you been able to impart any?
He's better at that than me, too. He was just trying to figure out, a synchronization licensing deal today that he's working on. And I said, well, I can refer you to my accountants and lawyers and this kind of thing. And by the time I got them emailed, he had already pretty much figured it out for himself. So I didn't really, he knows as much about the business now as I do, because nothing I learned in the 80s and 90s really applies anymore.
Well, it has changed. You mentioned that sort of the idea was to get out, have an album, and get out on the road and kind of do it that way.
The model then was we were trying to make a living off of record sales. And we didn't expect tours to be profitable, because tours were just to promote records. And we thought we could do it on record royalties. Well, now there are no royalties, really. And, the records are to promote the tour dates, because that's, and our tours have to be profitable.
A lot of people these days seem to, and it's surprising that the names that you see doing pledge music campaigns to put albums out.
Doing what?
The pledge music, where they're raising money on like crowdfunding campaigns.
Crowdsourcing thing.
Yeah.
I haven't had to do that yet, but it could happen.
It's remarkable how many big names you actually see doing it.
Well, there's only so many investment dollars floating around, and not very many of them are fool enough to throw it away on a record. So,
Are we likely to see you out in Australia at some stage?
Well, we had an offer for 4 gigs in Australia and New Zealand October or November, I think, but it was like a feeler, and I have yet to get a formal offer for those dates. If I get them soon, then maybe I can get my band over there. That's the idea anyway. There's a couple of festivals in Australia, and I think there was a club date in Melbourne we were looking at, and something over in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm not sure what, but hopefully that'll happen, because otherwise I don't know what I'm going to do in November.
Well, let's see if we can get you over to Australia in November, because one of the great highlights of coming to Austin is seeing you here at the Continental. It's just one of the terrific things that we enjoy here about the music scene. And before you go, let me ask you about a couple of recent projects you've worked on. The latest one being that I've got is Highway Prayer, the tribute to Adam Carroll, where you do a song called Screen Door.
Yeah. It's a great song. I heard Adam do that at the old Cibolo Creek Country Club north of San Antonio sometime in the 90s. I think he was opening for me. And it had that line about you say you love the tool pusher, which rings home to me, because most of my cousins in North Texas are in the oil field. Mm-hmm. Some of them have done that job.
Can you tell us a little bit about Adam?
Oh, he's just a great songwriter. I think he's from East Texas or Louisiana, somewhere over that way. Reminds me of my cousin Chad. He's got the same accent. Kind of swallows his words when he talks. Sorry.
And you were also on the Ted Hawkins tribute, called him The Bitter Tears.
Yeah, that was good to do. Well, they're both produced by my manager, Jenny Finley, produced both those records. So I've been well placed by fate. But Ted Hawkins, I saw him, I opened for him once. We were the entertainment at a transvestite birthday party at a place called Largo on Fairfax in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. Largo was across the street from
Not the whiskey
or anything. There's a deli there on Fairfax. Hmm. Cantor's, I think it is. Yeah, famous old deli. And Largo was the club there for a long time. Now it's gone. It's converted into something so L.A. that, you know, you can't get a reservation there unless you're a Saudi prince or a big movie star. And they, like, they don't, there's no website. They don't answer. I don't think they have a name. You know, they got about four tables. And they might answer the phone if you can get the number. You know, it's one of those. It's so exclusive it doesn't exist.
I'm not sure that Ted would have been impressed with that.
Ted didn't care. You know, he seemed to be just he just radiated joy, it seemed. You know, I didn't get the blue aspect of him that night. And I was young. I was mad because I didn't think my sound was very good. You know, and he just came out. He was going to have a good time no matter what.
Well, hey, listen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. It's great to see you, such an integral part of the Austin music scene.
Well, thank you.
This song is called Screen Door. Looking out the screen door, through the smoke into your eyes. Looking out the screen door, through the smoke into your eyes. You're smiling through the screen door, it's worth 10,000 goodbyes. I'm cleaning up the tables at the barbecue tonight. I'm cleaning up the tables at the barbecue tonight. I'm looking out the screen door where your face comes in the light. You said you loved the tool pusher 'cause he bought you a ring. You said you loved the tool pusher 'cause he bought you a ring. I pledged my love 1,000 times, still you're hiding behind a Coke bottle machine. I make a wish when you're not watching, but I keep my fingers crossed. I make a wish when you're not watching, but I keep my fingers crossed. While you take the old man's order on the checkered tablecloth. You ask me, what have I got, darling, when I go back home? You ask me, what have I got, darling, when I go back home? I got a trash sack full of rib bones and a pocket full of songs, and they're all for you. For the tool pusher, I'm turning out the lights. You're waiting for the tool pusher, I'm turning out the lights. He's got Kilgore on his collar, and you know he's got a lipstick stain tonight. I got grease from washing dishes. You got a name tag on your chest. I got grease from washing dishes. You got a name tag on your chest. And you're walking out the screen door, and the smoke is all that's left.
From the album Highway Prayer, a tribute to Adam Carroll, a Texas singer-songwriter, and James' version of Adam's song Screen Door, also on the album, Hayes Carl, Slade Cleese, Band of Heathens, some great Texan artists there. Verlon Thompson, of course, friend of Guy Clark's and collaborated with him for many years, Matt the Electrician, and Adam Carroll himself, and a terrific album, a tribute to Adam Carroll. And we heard James McMurtry talking at the gallery just before he went on stage doing his acoustic set, the gallery next door to the Continental, in fact, upstairs from the Continental on South Congress, and we have lots of interesting artists play there. Saw Bonnie Whitmore the other night as well. She's the sister of Eleanor Whitmore from the Mastersons, and also a terrific trumpeter called Ephraim Owens, who was in Australia last year with the Tedeschi Trucks Band, and he plays a sort of a late show at the gallery. And then later on Wednesday night on the midnight show, saw James McMurtry with his band. Having played James McMurtry, why don't we play his son? His son is named Curtis McMurtry. You heard James talking about him. He's got an album out called The Hornet's Nest, and here's a track called Wrong Inflection.
Sweep me off my feet. Where I learned to walk the walk, I get choked up and I can't talk. Looking back, I'm looking back. I'm a little scared to send a postcard.
Whitney Rose and a song called Looking Back on Lucan Bark, a song about that famous little Texan town. It's from Whitney's latest EP, South Texas Suite. Before that, Ruthie Foster. Her new album's titled Joy Comes Back, and we heard the song Richland Woman. And we also heard from Curtis McMurtry. and we were talking to his dad, James McMurtry, but Curtis's album is called Hornet's Nest, and we heard the song Wrong Inflection. You're listening to Off the Record with Brian Wise. Thanks for joining me on the program this week. Traveling across the United States, I'm in Texas at the moment musically, and I thought I might continue along that theme. There's a terrific Texan band called Shiny Ribs. Its leader is a great songwriter called Kevin Russell, and he's been in the Gourds in the past. This is his latest outfit. They've got a new album out, and it's really terrific. It's called I Got Your Medicine, and they do a couple of cover versions, and I thought I might play these, although I could play some of Kevin's great original compositions, which I'll do in future weeks, but here are two terrific cover versions. First of all, a cover of the Toussaint McCall song, Nothing Takes the Place of You, and then the Alan Toussaint classic, A Certain Girl.
Takes the place of you.
terrific cover versions, weren't they? From Texas band Shiny Ribs, led by Kevin Russell, who used to be the leader of the Gourds. A Certain Girl, the Alan Toussaint classic, which was a hit for Ernie Cadeau back in the 60s, and also recorded by Warren Zevon at one stage. As well as that, we heard their version of Nothing Takes the Place of You. Beautiful version of that Toussaint McCall composition, Shiny Ribs. The album's called I Got Your Medicine. You're listening to Off the Record with Brian Wise, and playing you some music from Texas. I'm traveling across the states to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, and a great Texan singer-songwriter who's probably been more successful as an artist, a sculptor, in fact, is Terry Allen. And back in the 70s, he released two fantastic albums, one called Juarez in 1975, the other called Lubbock on Everything. And I thought I might play a track to start off with from the re-releases of those albums, from Lubbock on Everything. And this is a song that you will know. Originally recorded by Terry Allen, written by Terry Allen, but recorded and made a hit by Little Feat. But here's Terry Allen's version, and this is on the re-released version of Lubbock on Everything, beautifully presented in the digipack, as is Juarez, and you might like to get hold of it. Have a listen to these two tracks from the Terry Allen re-releases.
I'm going back, going home again. Till I'm going back to my own again. I'm going back out of my hometown. Won't put me out, won't let me down. Yeah, I wired up a car in East Fontana. I was headed for San Bernardino. All the midnight oil, it was on the boil, and the boy was barreling through. And then I took a turn, but I hit the curb and spun off the center lane. And when I heard the crash, well, I stomped the gas, and I was barreling on again. I leave a few people dead, but I got open road ahead. I leave a few people dead, but I got open road down, yeah, ahead. Judge with his gold-plated mouth, he said, go live in the north, you're gonna die down south, you're gonna die down south. Yeah, but I'm going back, going home again. Well, I'm going back to my home again. I'm going back, get in my hometown, and won't put me out, won't let me down. Me today. Yeah, stopped on off a liquor store, made everybody lay down on the floor. I took all the whiskey, I took their bread, yeah, I shot out the lights just before I fled. I leave a few people dead, but I got open road. Hell ahead. I leave a few people dead, but I got open road. Hell ahead. Black tongue lied when she told me she's dissatisfied. And I remember her daddy, big as a truck. He said, fuck with me, boy, if you wanna fuck. Yeah, fuck with me, boy, if you wanna fuck. Yeah, but I'm going back, going home again. I'm going back to my own again. I'm going back out of my hometown. And they'll put me out, or let me down. Against sunny Southern California. Ought to be a law against putting the devil behind the wheel. Yeah, cause as long as you people gonna sanction such an evil, well, I'm gonna turn your asphalt back into brimstone. And you goddamn bet I will.
The great Terry Allen from Texas, and a song called There Ought to Be a Law Against Sunny Southern California from the album Juarez, released back in 1975 and now released in a beautiful digipack with extensive liner notes. It's just really fantastic presentation. And before that, the classic New Delhi Fate Train, which Little Feat, of course, made famous, but there's Terry's version from his album Lubbock on Everything, released back in 1979, also re-released. And I can thoroughly recommend those two albums as re-releases if you're a Terry Allen fan, and or maybe if you want to discover him. Hey, thanks for listening to Off the Record. I'm on the road, Brian Wise here, signing off for this week. Hope you can join me again next week, coming to you from the USA and brought to you on the satellite network of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. I'll talk to you next week.
New music, different perspectives. This
is... He set foot in America one fine October day.